Welcome, my name is Mason and this is Mace on Movies, and today I'll be giving my thoughts on Dune, the latest film from Denis Villeneuve and the second attempt at adapting Frank Herbert's novel for the big screen, the previous attempt being made by David Lynch and probably less successful than this attempt by Denis Villeneuve. So it is a massive novel that is a challenge to faithfully adapt all of that material for the big screen. There's so much mythology, so much depth, so many layers to these characters and these events that are going on that it's a huge thing to tackle. But I think that if anybody was going to attempt to tackle it that is working today, I think Denis Villeneuve is probably one of the better choices to try and take this thing on, just because he is such an incredible director stylistically. He does incredible work with practical effects that you've seen in Blade Runner 2049, and just has such an eye for epic, large-scale cinema, but also, in general, does such great character work and bringing incredible performances out of the actors that he's worked with in the past. So I was very excited to check out Dune, which has been rolling out internationally over the past couple of weeks, but will make its debut stateside in America and on HBO Max over this coming weekend. So this will be a non-spoiler review, as many people have not seen it yet, but I did want to hop on and give my thoughts. And for me, this is a film that I kind of wanted to watch it a second time before giving a review, because the first time you watch it, as someone who has read the original novel, I think for me, a lot of it was trying to, you know, kind of mentally place things from the novel, like, okay, you know, here's that character, that character, that character. So kind of like lining things up with kind of my own expectations of what things would look like or sound like or feel like, and then also wondering, knowing that as soon as the opening credits hit and it says, you know, opening title card Dune Part One, and as Denis Villeneuve has mentioned before, his desire to split the novel in half and make two films instead of trying to adapt it all into one film. So knowing that this was a part one, I was kind of like wondering, okay, where are they going to cut it? Because I do remember, you know, when reading the novel, I think that there is a very clear kind of dividing line in the story where there's like, you know, there's build up, there's a huge event, and then there's the follow through and aftermath and everything that occurs after that. So, you know, I think that I kind of mentally had an idea of where they might drop it, and ultimately he did end up cutting it around where I thought he would. So, but I think as I was watching it, I was trying to get lost in it, but I was also just mentally like, okay, where are we stopping? Because obviously I'm not going to be the guy that pulls out his cell phone in the middle of the movie to see how much time has passed and how much time we have left to try and estimate how much further we're going to get in the story. But I was kind of wondering as I was watching, like, okay, this is great. Where are we? How far are we going to get for this part? Where are we going to leave it off? And is it going to be a satisfying part one in its own right? And I think that's kind of the big question for me, is like, when you're going to divide something into two parts, I think that you have to tell a compelling story in the first part on its own in order to justify kind of the second part. Like, you can't just say, okay, I'm saving everything for the second part and we're just going to set things up here. I think that you really need to tell a great, not fully closed, but a satisfying story in one movie, which I think was the challenge here. And also, you know, coming into this, leading up with the marketing, I felt like there was a lot of marketing, and there was specifically a TV spot that would play, or an internet ad that would play over and over and over again, with the review from Collider. I think it was Steve Weintraub that put it, but basically saying like, this is the next Star Wars / Lord of the Rings. And so that's a lot of expectation to put on this film. So in addition to wondering, can we deliver a satisfying part one on its own? I was also wondering, is this film going to be accessible to people who haven't read the book? And is it going to live up to that hype of being something on the level of a Star Wars or a Lord of the Rings? So those are all, that's where my head was at as I was watching this. Like, A, is it living up to the advertising? Was it accurate marketing? And, you know, is this a satisfying part one? So all of that preamble, I will finally get into my actual thoughts on the film. Like I said, no spoilers, but I'm such a huge fan of Denis. And so I was confident that this was going to be a very well-made film. And visually, and when it comes to the sound and the score, I feel like, you know, everyone calling this film a masterpiece is correct. Visually, I think that this is a masterpiece. It is a stunning film. It is something that I watched. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, how did he make this? Like, because I understand, like, some of it's practical. Obviously, there's, you know, computer trickery that goes on with the visual effects. But this film, in all of its epic scope and scale, it feels like a real world that they are walking through. And obviously, you know, you're filming on location, so a lot of it is real world. But these ships, like all of these vehicles and everything, it just feels like I've stepped into a real place when I'm watching this film. And Denis has such an eye for, you know, the shots that he wants and things like that. And obviously he has a cinematographer, but he's obviously directing, you know, the cinematographer. He's directing these people, directing the actors. He's framing things and talking about the shots that he wants to get. And he just has such a talent for just gorgeous framing and the meshing of these, you know, physical, these practical effects, you know, these big, gigantic sets. And it's, I found it almost impossible to discern in a lot of the film, discern between what was, you know, an actual set, what was a physical prop or physical vehicle, and what was computer generated. There was some of it, like with the thopters, which are the dragonfly looking helicopters that they use. You know, with stuff like that, you can tell, like, when the wings start moving. Obviously that's CGI, but there's this some gorgeous opening imagery where it's like you've got these ships in the background, and as Paul's walking along, and, you know, you've got this ceremony where there's this huge ship and they're kind of bringing out the walkway almost as it's sliding out, almost like a rolling carpet. But it's like a physical walkway that's ornate and just beautiful. And it's like, I can't even tell, like, is that a real thing that they built or is it computer generated? So I, like, am so impressed by the visuals of this film. And I truly think that he has directed a visual masterpiece. But some of the issues that I had with the film, I had no problem with the way it looks. I had no problem with the way it sounds, although some people were complaining that it's kind of a loud film. So just be prepared. It's got a lot of, it's Hans Zimmer, I think. So, you know, just what you can expect from him in terms of loud sounds that may leave your ears ringing a little bit. But I think all of that was great. But in terms of the story, I felt like so much effort was put into the physical production, and the performances are great, the actors are great, but I just felt like when it came to the script and the screenwriting, I felt like too much of the intrigue and the machinations and the, you know, all of the manipulation, all of those layers of each character and the tension of everything that's happening, I felt like a lot of that got stripped away in the process. And it's not that there isn't any tension. It's not that you don't understand the stakes or you don't understand what's happening. It's just like I felt like when you're reading the novel, you get a lot of these internal monologues of what people are thinking, how they're maneuvering, what they're trying to accomplish, what their doubts are, what they're struggling with. And I felt like if there's any weakness of this film, it was trying to translate those things to the screen, because you can't, unless you do like voiceover narration, which is really awkward and clumsy, it's hard to bring all of those thoughts forward and to really, you know, you can't just, I guess you could have someone monologuing to another person for a long time, but I felt like script-wise, dialogue-wise, exposition-wise, it was kind of very minimal. And, you know, normally I wouldn't complain that there's minimal exposition, but I felt like in this film, we actually needed a little bit more exposition. Because even though we could understand what was happening, you know, Harkonnen's bad, Atreides good, Fremen being abused and taken advantage of and having their land pillaged. Okay, we get that. We get the stakes. Emperor scheming, manipulating, got it. But it's all very broad strokes. And I felt like Paul's journey as someone who's potentially a messianic figure, someone who's been prophesied about, who has, you know, has the voice. He's been trained by the Bene Gesserit, who are, I don't want to say witches, they're not gypsies, but they have skills of prophecy and manipulation and things like that. And they are kind of using prophecy and things like that to manipulate political things. And I felt like there's such a rich mythology there. There's such rich storytelling from the novels. There's so much political intrigue. And I felt like a lot of that got stripped away when this was coming to the big screen. So like I said, we get the broad strokes, but I felt like we didn't get, at least for me, I didn't feel attached to the personal journeys of the characters. I didn't feel attached to Paul. I didn't feel attached to the Duke. I didn't feel attached to his mother. You know, I felt probably most attached to Jason Momoa, who plays Duncan Idaho, and that's not what I expected, because you've got such great performers with Oscar Isaac and Josh Brolin, Rebecca Ferguson, Timothy Chalamet. Like, you've got, you know, Dave Bautista's in there as well. You've got incredible performers, and they're giving great performances. I just felt like it all came off a little bit cold and a little bit distant and a little bit removed. And I wanted to feel personally invested in Paul's journey. I just didn't feel that based on the dialogue, based on the storytelling. I think that so much emphasis was placed on translating the physical world of the books to the screen, which, again, incredible, the way that Denis Villeneuve has brought these things to life. And you have to applaud him for that. But I just wish that, you know, when I was walking away from it, I saw this with my wife, who hasn't read the novel, and she walked away saying, what was the story? Like, what am I, like, I get, she was like, I understand who the good guys and who the bad guys are, but she said she didn't understand the overall motivation. She didn't understand what the story was really about coming out of the movie. And I felt like I could totally understand that, because as I was watching, I was thinking, would somebody who hasn't read the novels get as much out of this film as someone who has? Because I think that when you're trying to justify the part two and get the money from the studio and make the box office that you need to move forward with something like that, you have to not just faithfully adapt the novel for people who have read it, but you've got to create it in a way that the average moviegoer, the casual moviegoer, can be swept up in this world and want to see more of it. And I don't know that that was done. And that was my biggest issue walking away from it, is like, I know that I love it, but I'm going to be very curious to see what the cinema score is for people that are coming in just based on the marketing, based on the promotion. Are they going to walk away satisfied with the story that was told? And I don't know if this is going to live up to their expectations story-wise. So as I was watching, I actually kind of thought a lot about The Green Knight, which is another very visually bold story that was brought to screens earlier this year. And, you know, the hardcore cinephiles loved it. Like, really, like, were blown away by the imagery. You know, the storytelling was not, it wasn't a simple story. It really had layers and depth to it. And, you know, the average person going in for, like, you know, sort like a Knights of the Round Table style story, kind of walked away disappointed, and the cinema score suffered because of that, because it didn't quite meet the marketing. It didn't give them what they were expecting. And so I'm concerned that people going into this film expecting Star Wars meets Lord of the Rings are going to walk away disappointed, because I feel like this movie didn't have the heart that Star Wars and Lord of the Rings have. And I felt like this, you know, the film was awe-inspiring, but it wasn't exciting. It didn't grab you. I didn't feel invested, and I've read the books. Like, I love The Journey of Paul, and I love the story that's told in those books, or that book. But even though I've read the books, I felt emotionally distant from the film as I was watching it. So it could have just been because I was thinking about so many things, and that's why I want to watch it a second time to see how it hits me once I know the arc of part one, and once I've seen it for the first time. I wonder how coming back to it a second time, maybe I'll notice more things within the story that move me in a way that didn't the first time around. Because I just think that there is so much potential, you know, in the relationship between Paul and his father, and in the assignment of Duke Leto to Arrakis, and what that means for them, and how the people view him, and how his concubine is involved in that, and their relationship and the love that they have for each other as she's the mother of Paul, their son, and how that whole relationship and dynamic works. And there's so much influence that the Bene Gesserit have, and it's kind of hinted at. And I just wish, almost like Game of Thrones style, where you've got all of this maneuvering and manipulation and all of these schemes and plans and backstabbing and betrayal. Like, I feel like I wanted to see some of that, like, early Game of Thrones style storytelling in this adaptation. And I felt like if you had married storytelling with visuals, then you would have had a home run. And like I said, it's not a bad film. I just felt like it could have been even better if they would have nailed the story execution. Because I felt like coming off of the TV spots, they kind of put all of the action that's in the film is in the TV spot. So I think if people, coming back to people's expectations, if they're expecting Star Wars meets Lord of the Rings, I feel like they might walk away a little bit cold, because I don't, like I said, I don't think it has the heart of those films. And I think that, yeah, that's how I felt about that. But then, just lost my train of thought, but I felt like people are going to walk away a little bit cold from the storytelling. And I just feel like, yeah, it could have been a home run. And I think that people are going to be impressed visually, but they might walk away a little bit cold story-wise. So the other issue I have is that I know that we've split the story in two, but I felt like the way that they left it at the end of this film is kind of like, you kind of like shrug, or like, you're like, when the film ended, I was like, okay, like, okay, that's where we're leaving it. And it's very much like, it's very on the nose of like, this is just the beginning. And it's like, okay, well, what you've given me up until this point, I don't know if that's motivated me story-wise to want to come back and see how the rest of this unfolds. I don't know if you've compelled me enough in this first part of the journey to make me want to come back and finish it. So that's the way I felt, like, if that makes sense, from a storytelling angle. But I think if you're impressed enough visually, then you're absolutely going to come back and see the second part to live more in this world, because it is an amazing world that he's brought to life. But I think I was talking about the action. Coming back to that, this is not like an intense action-packed film. I think that, you know, if we're comparing it to Star Wars Lord of the Rings, it's more like the walking in Lord of the Rings. Like, it's a lot of that. It's a lot of slow pace, dramatic music, long stairs, long walks, slow action, dramatic beats. Like, it's not the fast-paced action of Star Wars, or even something like Helm's Deep or one of those like massive, insane battles. It doesn't really have that epic battle to it. It's not heavy on the action. And so that's another area where I felt like people coming in off of the advertising might also walk away disappointed, because it's not an action heavy film. And I felt like the trailers really took all of the action that's actually in the film, the minute or two, and put all of it into the promo. And people that are coming in looking for more of where that came from might also walk away disappointed. So just to prepare you, if you haven't seen it yet, I would say be prepared for a more kind of a moodier, atmospheric film. Those were the two words that hit me immediately watching this, was moody and atmospheric. Not necessarily epic, action-packed, dramatic. It's dramatic in its framing, but it's not necessarily, it doesn't have that level of like plotting and scheming and drama. It is very much a kind of languid pace throughout the film. And the other thing is, like, coming back to the images, it is a lot, there's a lot of sand. And so you're getting a lot of like, not blurry, but like as the sand's coming through, a lot of the stuff at night can be kind of hard to see. And so I found myself straining to like understand what I was seeing in some of the night stuff, the darker stuff that was happening. So that's another kind of like thing that was tough while I was watching it. So we'll see when I watch it again. It's going to be on HBO Max. I'm going to watch it again at home this weekend, or if not this weekend, soon after, to see how things change on second viewing. But those are my overall thoughts. You know, like I said, the biggest thing was, will the casual fan enjoy it? The casual moviegoer enjoy it if they haven't read the books? And the answer is, I'm not sure. I think if you love Denis Villeneuve, you'll probably be okay. But if you're expecting Star Wars meets Lord of the Rings, you might be a little bit disappointed. The other thing, it being a part one, I don't know that it tells a satisfying story in the first half. And that's where it's like, you know, Star Wars, when you go back to the original Star Wars, that is a complete film. And there are other parts, obviously, you know, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, like there's a 3-movie arc, but the first movie itself, maybe because it was meant to, you know, they might only get one movie. So they did tell a complete story with options for continuing. But even something like The Force Awakens, right? Like, you know that threads from The Force Awakens are going to continue through into movies, you know, 8 and 9. But The Force Awakens itself tells kind of a satisfying and compelling story just in that first film. And so I think that, yeah, those are some of the things that I have to mention that I think didn't quite nail it in this film. But coming back to it, to wrap everything up, visually, masterpiece, incredible. Love the world that he's built. I think that this needs to be seen on the big screen. Don't watch it on your phone or your laptop. Go see it in a movie theater, IMAX, big sound, big picture. This is the kind of movie you have to see on the big screen. But just be prepared. Be prepared for a slower film, a moodier film, a more atmospheric film, not necessarily big epic action. So those are my thoughts, maybe a little bit scattered. But honestly, I saw this movie 5 days ago and I'm still kind of processing how I feel about it. So you might've gotten a little bit of that in this podcast today. So if you're still here, if you're still here at the end of this episode, thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate you taking the time to click on this review, and give it a listen. If you have seen Dune or you're catching it over the weekend, you can come back and let me know what you thought about it, on Instagram or Twitter at @MaceOnMovies. Would love to chat with you more about this film, hear what you thought about it. If you've enjoyed this review, you can check out the rest of this stuff on the podcast. You can see other podcast series that I'm doing on the feed, like My Journey Through Ghibli or the DCAMU. I reviewed Loki and The Bad Batch and things like that. So there's a lot to explore on the feed. So if you could check it out, that would be amazing. Hit subscribe, leave a rating, all that stuff. Share it with your friends. That would be amazing. But thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this review. I hope that wherever you are, you're well, taking care of yourself. Be well, physically and mentally. And let's remember to be kind to one another. Thanks, everybody.